May I have your attention, please?
Your attention, please?
Greetings and welcome to Attention, Please. KPTZ airs Attention, Please to draw our attention to the good work being done towards a better informed and more resilient community. I'm Phil Andrus. Attention, Please this week comes with two topics. First, we will learn about Car Free Day on June 1st, organized by the Students for Sustainability at Port Townsend High School and Local 2020. Then we will talk with members of the Accessible Community Advisory Committee, or for short, and you can see why it needs to be short, ACAC. So let's start with Car Free Day. I'm going to talk with Tallulah Sebastian and Lachlan Krupa. How have your fellow students, especially those who have their driver's licenses, responded to the notion of leaving their cars at home on June 1st?
We did an announcement over the school intercom in the morning, but we haven't received any feedback from people. Guess not good or bad.
Just talking to people around the school, I'd say it's actually pretty positive. I was talking to some people at lunch today, and they were all for it. One guy was like, oh yeah, I'll just skateboard. So I think overwhelmingly the students support us. There might be a few who will still drive, but hopefully there'll be a good turnout.
So the bike rack at Port Townsend High School, I'm wondering how busy it is on a typical day. I say that because I live out by Chimicum, and whenever I go down to the school, which I don't do much anymore because my kids have graduated, I don't see any bikes in the bike rack unless it's my own bike. I'm wondering how many kids tend to bike at Port Townsend High School and maybe whether you can anticipate seeing full bike racks on June 1st.
I would guess that probably 10 or 15 kids probably bike every day that I'd see when I passing them on the road.
I walk to school, so in the morning I often walk by one of the bike racks, and there's definitely always a few bikes there, always someone taking off their helmet having just got to school. I know for me it's difficult to bike because I have my violin I have to bring as well, so I walk. And I know there's definitely some other students who walk every day because I see them on my route. So hopefully we'll have more bikers and walkers.
This is probably an easy question, but I'm going to ask it anyway. Why do you consider it important that all of us, not just students, but all of us, their parents, everyone else, drive less frequently?
Yeah, and recently in a study done, and this is on Local 2020's website, looking into our emissions in Jefferson County, 66% of them are because of transportation. So just that number is something we can start to cut down on by driving less, or even just working towards carpooling, or just ways to make it so that there's less cars on the road and more efficient is something that we should all be thinking.
Car Free Day has happened in the past, but I don't know how many times, and I don't know how successful it's been.
In my freshman year, me and another student, Oscar Levine, started working on this project, and we tried to get that word out by ourselves. We came on KPTZ that year as well. We had some stuff in the newspapers, and we got in the announcements at the school and did a few other things to promote it. I think it was semi-successful. I mean, there was definitely still cars on the road that year. We didn't really have another organization helping us, but I think definitely some less people drove, which is good. That's just what we were aiming for. But this year, we're sort of continuing and ramping it up. Now that we're working with Local 2020, hopefully it'll be more successful this year. And we did purposefully aim for the same date. So it's been June 1st all the way through. So hopefully there'll be some continuity there.
And you're offering prizes on Car Free Day. What are the prizes and what does one have to do to win a prize?
Yeah, there's a ton of prizes. We have a bunch of local businesses that donated and some anonymous community members. There's gift baskets from the Silverwater, Finn River, and then there's a really long list. I won't read it all. There's bike tune-ups and gift certificates to the ice cream shop and the Rose Theater.
Will there be a rally? And I don't mean a car rally, but a rally, a demonstration, a gathering, an event, something for everyone to get together and reward yourselves by being together.
There is no rally or gathering planned. It's just seeing less cars on the road will be enough to symbolize the cause. And then how you enter into the prize drawing is that you participate first, and then you can post a picture on social media with the hashtag Car Free Day, and then there's a little sign up on the Local 2020 website.
So Tallulah Sebastian, what year are you in school?
I'm a freshman.
Good heavens. Well, you have a long ways to go. I am not going to ask you what you're going to do next year because you'll be a sophomore next year. Lachlan, what year are you in school?
I'm a senior this year.
Uh-huh. So I can ask you, what are your plans for next year?
I'm going to be going to Columbia University in New York City, studying biology, evolutionary biology, and ecology.
Best wishes to you both and for Car-Free Day. And thank you for being with me on Attention, Please.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you.
You're very welcome. Now we will turn to, we'll see if I can say this better this time than the first time, Accessible Community Advisory Committee. We will make that easier on ourselves by calling it ACC. No, we won't. ACAC for the rest of this conversation. With me are quite a number of people, but only a few are going to speak with me. Anna McHenry, Jefferson County Public Health. Patrick Johnson is the chair of ACAC and president of NAMI, the National Association for Mental Illness in Jefferson County, the chapter in Jefferson County. Kim Rafferty, co-chair of ACAC, and Mark McCauley, who is the Jefferson County Administrator and the designated ADA coordinator for Jefferson County, and Pat Teal, and she's involved in DASH. Question first. I know what we're going to have presentations. We're going to first hear a few words from at least Anna McHenry and maybe a couple more, and then with the time that remains, which won't be very much, I'll ask some questions.
Well, I'll try to be very succinct. Thank you so much, Phil. That was a very nice introduction. I do work out of public health. I'm the developmental disabilities coordinator, and I staff the behavioral health 0.1%. But one of my favorite projects is staffing the Accessible Community Advisory Committee that we have here. And we were formed in 2015 because of something called an Accessibility Communities Act that Toby Olson, a past executive secretary of the governor's committee, he came up with an idea to create disability grants in Washington state by accessing $100 from every $450 ticket issued for illegally parking in an accessible parking spot. Locally, our ACA is staffed by public health on behalf of the Jefferson County Board of Commissioners. Membership of our local ACAC consists of community members who experience a disability, work or volunteer in the field, or who are a parent of an adult with a disability. And we have 12 fabulous volunteer committee members that are great advocates, and they represent a myriad of disabilities from across our community. Since 2016, Jefferson County has received $183,185.05 in funding for ACAC grant projects that have promoted awareness and acceptance of people through people with who experience disabilities. I am happy to list a few of the projects: Jefferson County Fairgrounds, ADA access, ADA parking. There was a threshold replacement at the commercial building. We have a new sidewalk to the restroom. The Coil Community Center has ADA parking and entry doors, exit doors, and bathroom doors now. Recently, Chetsamoka Park has improved ADA paths and accessible signage kiosks for the restroom. One thing I did want to mention was the free accessible beach wheelchair at Fort Worden State Park and the free accessible beach walker. Our most recent ACAC project that's near completion is an accessible changing area at the Mountain View Pool for kiddos and adults with disabilities, and it will be located on the pool deck. So the goal was to create a curtained ADA changing room, complete with a wall-mounted changing table, a reclining rolling shower chair, one for adults and two for kiddos. And this will assist individuals to the poolside lift and showers, and will give caregivers, you know, support when assisting children and adults with disabilities at the pool. I can stop there and have you go ahead and ask any questions.
Kim Rafferty, any quick words before I ask some questions?
Yeah, thanks, Phil. Thanks for having us. I would like to say that our ACAC group is pretty unique in the state of Washington. We got started early and were able to get a lot of funding early on, and we were so successful that the governor's committee kind of changed the rules a little bit, and we're so fortunate to have the support from Jefferson County Public Health in the form of Anna, who kind of runs the program as a staff person. Without her, it would be difficult to keep things all coordinated and rolling as and be as successful as we have been in our county.
Mark McCauley, anything you want to add at this point?
Yes. As the county's ADA coordinator, I'm listed on the county's website so that anybody who has accessibility issues with Jefferson County of any sort, not being able to listen to county meetings because they need some kind of special accommodation or physically can't access county facilities, then I'm the one they should come to and lay out their concerns so that we can rectify whatever situation is hindering their ability to do business with us. We take those complaints seriously and work to correct them. I'm also doubling as a department director for community services, and I have the facilities budget. I'm the one that made available the match for the grants that that did the ADA accessible doors on all of our community centers. I'm a big proponent of this committee and believe Anna does a great job.
Many of us tend to think of the disabled as other people. For those of us who are fortunate not to be disabled, that is the case. In the blink of an eye, a moment of inattention while driving or just plain bad luck, an occluded blood vessel in the brain, any of us can become disabled pretty well instantly. In our county, including all individuals whom you would consider to be disabled, about how many of us are there?
During the last census, I believe we were looking at around 16% to 17%, but in the past, I've seen, you know, like a fifth of our population has some sort of disability age 5 and up.
Pat Teal, many of the projects that Anna described would be especially of interest to you as the the coordinator, I probably don't have the right word, of DASH. Tell us about DASH for a couple of minutes, if you could, please, and how it relates to what we're talking about.
DASH stands for Disability Awareness Starts Here. We've been operating for over 20 years now, advocating for barrier removal and attitude changes to make sure that people with disabilities can be included in all aspects of life in Jefferson County. We've done all kinds of projects, kinds of brochures to let people know what's accessible. In restaurants, the ACAC is paid for the printing of other housing, overnight accommodations, rather, entertainment venues, and an accessible map of uptown and downtown. Our latest project is working with the State Department of Transportation on the roundabouts to make sure the roundabout that's going to go in on Kearney Street works for people who are blind, for example. We did an Assume a Disability event. So we advocate and educate where we can. And ACAC has been invaluable, not only in printing our brochures, but updating our website. We partner with whatever agencies we can, and this has been invaluable.
Until I read through your website, or maybe it was the PowerPoint presentation Anna sent to me, I didn't consider myself among them, and perhaps I'm not quite yet. But my hearing is getting to be not what it used to be, and I noticed one of the funded activities, funded devices, I guess it's something physical, assistive listening devices. I'm wondering what those are and how one gets to use them. And this probably is for Anna, but it could be for any of you.
A number of entities that have, Centrum is one of them, the health department. The community center already has one, so DASH in the past, before COVID, we're meeting there and we've used them. There are systems set up that so somebody with compatible with hearing aids, somebody can hear at a meeting or an event like at Centrum.
It sounds like a good idea. The second physical object, or objects, probably plural, that seems interesting to me, I want to ask about it, Project Lifesaver transmitter bands. Explain that to me, who uses those and what their purpose is. And again, it could be any of you, Anna?
I'll go ahead and chime in. John Amater, who's a member of our board, he's a volunteer at the Sheriff's Department. Those are bands for people who wander, maybe people who have dementia, or it could be a child or someone with autism. It works through a radio transmitter where the person has that band on. So if they do wander, they're found quickly rather than hours and hours later.
And how does one get access to those if one, well, just say one's family members or family member needs such a device? How does one get to use one?
Well, I would contact the Sheriff's Department and they will point you in the right direction.
And the last I want to ask about, a specific thing developed in partnership with JUMP called the Serenity Spot. Tell me about that.
What it is, it's a quiet, partially enclosed space for children who have autism or other sensory issues. They might get overly stimulated in that new accessible park for kids with and without disabilities. So it's a place for them to have respite from some of the more active play elements in the playground.
It sounds like a wonderful idea. And by the way, we didn't identify what JUMP stands for and what it does, but I bet you could do that for me.
It's the Jefferson Universal Movement Playground. It's going to be a pretty amazing destination playground, I think, for families and all kinds of community members and lots of kiddos with and without disabilities. And I'm on the JUMP board, but there's a whole myriad of people who have worked really hard over the last 6 years to make sure that playground is moving forward.
And I believe you said that that will be at H.J. Carroll Park.
Correct. And the groundbreaking just occurred about a week ago.
Okay, let's move to Richard Johnson and the matter of mental illness. As you must know, our society is, I think, slowly facing the challenges that we all face with respect to mental illness. What has ACAC done in that regard, and how could it do more? You said you have a project, and I'd like to know what that project is, how it's funded, and what you hope to accomplish.
Patrick Johnson, thank you. It's fitting to be here today in May because May is Mental Illness Awareness Month. And one of the biggest problems with mental illness, of course, is treatment and accessibility. And the barrier to that is stigma. So Mental Illness Awareness Month is one of many activities that are undertaken by various groups to bring to the public's attention information about mental illness and to remove that stigma. NAMI is very happy to be represented on the committee because the original ADA Act, which became a reality in 1990, also includes mental illness. And many people are not aware that mental illness can be a very inhibiting disability for many people. About one in five individuals across the country and here in Jefferson County have a mental illness with varying degrees or one kind or another, and it can be very disabling. A central part of the challenges for people and their families with mental illness is stigma. And stigma keeps people from seeking treatment, from seeking a diagnosis, and finding appropriate resources to help with all of that. So one of the projects, and I believe this is unique, and I don't think any other organization, local organization in the state has one of these, but we are undertaking the development of a stigma reduction project here in Jefferson County that, among other things, will provide literature, information, people to talk to groups about mental illness to remove that stigma so that we can encourage people to seek treatment and, again, get a diagnosis and also muster community support for mental illness services.
How are you going about that? That's a pretty stiff challenge. People tend to shy away from, be frightened by, certainly are ignorant of those who are overtly mentally ill, and for that matter, those who are not quite so obviously so. How do we make ourselves less frightened, less concerned? And I don't mean less concerned in the sense of not wanting to help, but less just wanting to look the other way, say. How does NAMI and how does ACAC educate the rest of us so that we can help?
Education is the key, and community discussion is central to that. For example, people with mental illness have an unfortunate reputation among the homeless population as perhaps being a threat, a physical threat. But people with mental illness are far more likely to be the victims of violence, for example, than the perpetrators. And so one of the things that the Stigma Reduction Project will do is provide facts and information to community groups through literature, public speaking. We're going to also create a video that we'll take to anywhere in the community to help people understand that mental illness is something that affects all of us, not just individuals with mental illness, but also their families. And almost anyone knows a person who has a mental illness, serious depression, schizophrenia, bipolar, any number of mental illnesses. Getting out and speaking about it, providing literature, education, and then advocating for people and their families that have a mental illness. NAMI here in Jefferson County has support groups, for example. We're able and willing to talk to anyone. I would encourage people to go to our website, NAMI Jeffco, and check out the offerings that we have there. We also advocate with the state legislature for resources that can be made available for adequate treatment, for example. And we work with a variety of partners in the community to increase awareness. And so removing myths, it's through conversations, community conversations, that are the most important vehicle to overcome stigma. And at the core of stigma, of course, is shame. people, for the reasons that you mentioned, are reluctant to come forward and say, yes, my son has a mental illness, or my daughter has a mental illness, or I struggle with clinical depression, and it's very difficult. So the more that we can get talking about it, the more that we can encourage people to talk about it, the more successful we're going to be in encouraging people to seek treatment, to seek a diagnosis, and to become okay with the fact, if you will, that people with mental illness are not a threat.
And thank you, Patrick, and sorry I misstated your name. I think this question should be for Mark McCauley, County Administrator. How does the county, I assume it's the county's money ultimately, the county has to decide how to spend the money. How do you make those decisions? Are you advised by the ACAC board, or do you have other considerations that you bring to bear on deciding the division of this, well, in this case, $183,000?
In addition to ACAC, the county has a number of other committees, the Behavioral Health Advisory Committee, for example. And those committees exist to, in some cases, make decisions on behalf of the board. I don't believe, Anna, that the grants that ACAC applies for, I don't think the board is involved in those decisions. So, yeah, ACAC is fairly autonomous in that regard. The Behavioral Health Advisory Committee, on the other hand, makes recommendations and the board considers and approves them. But the ACAC is a pretty independent body. And
just a clarification, all of that funding has come through the state, which set aside that $100 of every ticket in every city and county municipality where someone has gotten a $450 ticket where they parked in an accessible parking spot and they didn't have a placard. So we applied for grant funding from the state, the governor's committee, actually.
I can understand that. I thought it might have been state money funneled to the county, but that is not the case. I wonder how the COVID pandemic has hindered the work of ACAC, and maybe, on the other hand, maybe assisted the work of ACAC.
Well, I think people are definitely more isolated now, and, you know, people with disabilities are. Maybe I could ask Kelly Matlock to speak to that, especially because she has a son who experiences autism.
Yeah, that's an interesting question, but I only have my little family's experience and not really a broader sense of what's happening in the community. But I do know that with COVID, both my son and my husband also have some health issues. So we've been very, very cautious with COVID protocols. We just have naturally become far more isolated. On the plus side, I've really grown to enjoy that. I have enjoyed puttering around my house and my garden and my art studio, but I can't imagine that for people with vulnerabilities, it has not made them more vulnerable and more isolated, for sure. And we know that the mental health of people have all dramatically been impacted by COVID, too.
Well, Kelly Matlock, I recognized your name, and now I recognize your face from a conversation on Tossed Salad some many years ago. And it's good to see you again. Actually, it's good to see the artwork behind you, which I didn't have when you came to the studio in person.
Phil, Anna, sorry to interrupt, but John Fresca might want to talk about access issues, some isolation there. He's a transportation advocate.
I would like to hear from him.
Hello. Yes, I do not drive. I rely on the Dial-A-Ride service that's provided by Jefferson Transit. And also, before COVID, I was riding the regularly scheduled buses. I've recently got involved with a project that's taking place at the University of Washington, and Port Townsend will be one of the locations. It's a project called Project Sidewalk, and it uses artificial intelligence to identify the safe routes for people using wheelchairs and walkers and other mobility devices. I am in a wheelchair. I have both my legs are impaired, and I have ALS. So when I first started using my wheelchair about 4 years ago, it was a matter of hit and miss, just trial and error, trying to find the best route to get between my home in Uptown and the downtown area to go to a show or to go to a concert. And this will provide a means for people to find the best route.
And it will work for someone like yourself in a wheelchair. It will work, I assume, differently for people who are sightless, but it will work for everyone who has a need to find their way around. That would seem like a wonderful boon to folks such as yourself.
Yes, I'm excited about it. I first learned about it about a year ago, and then I got involved with the Disability Rights Washington out of Seattle on a project with regard to mass transit and people using wheelchairs and mobility devices. And then through that association, I got hooked up with these researchers that are working out of the Paul Allen Research Institute through the University of Washington.
And well, John Frasca, thank you for what you're doing. It seems like it's a bit revolutionary and a really good idea. And again, thank you. We're just about out of time. I want to ask Anna if she wants to offer any further thoughts to help us wrap this up.
If anybody out there listening has an idea for a project on access or any kind of disability that they know someone has that this grant could help with access and education, please contact Kim Rafferty at 360-531-2330. You're welcome to contact me at Public Health, or Patrick Johnson also has his email, which is patrickjjohnson01@gmail.com.
Okay, well, I have to say thank you to all of you. We do need to wrap this up. Thank you for your suggestions. Thank you for joining me on Attention Please today. Remember, June 1st is Car Free Day. Attention Please is aired on Monday at noon and at 5 on Monday as well. And on Saturday at noon, it is also available as a podcast at kptz.org. Questions about today's show can be directed to me, Phil Andrus, at cats@kptz.org. And then I will send you and your inquiry on to Anna or to Patrick or to whomever should receive it. We're going to go out with some music, like I like to do at least with Attention Please. This is Ocean Breeze. Thank you for listening.